Will you turn with me to James 2? James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Dear beloved saints of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us be exhorted by our brother James this morning. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and have become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Amen. Our brother James here tells us that we are to have or hold the faith of our Lord without respect of persons. That's what I want to talk about here this morning. The background for James can be found in lots of books. In one, I was reading a book by an old Presbyterian pastor by the name of Thomas Manton, who ended up dying at the hand of Charles II. Mr. Manton remembers and recalls how in the synagogues of old, they had a practice. They would have the elders sit in chairs up front. And then they would have the rank and file sit on benches after that. And then after that, they would have the widows, and then the virgins, and then the matrons. So there's quite a hierarchy in the church, in the synagogues. And this practice got to be a practice in the church as well. They tended to copy these things. And James here is reminding us that this specific instance is not a good one, especially when they have particular respect of persons. You know, the word respect of persons is an interesting word. It's a phrase in the King James. Some translations translate it partiality. But the King James uses the word respect of persons. And the more I studied it, I got to thinking, you know, I really like this word. The phrase in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it's interesting. If you look in the Greek and the Hebrew, it means the same thing, which basically means to lay hold of or to respect the face. To give consideration to the face of the person as opposed to the face of God. Now, I think we need to continue to use the word partiality. It's a great word. I just think that it's not quite as specific as respect of persons. There's a certain accuracy to respect of persons that I really like. Partiality is a great word. I mean, I even tend to be partial to my children. I tend to be partial to my bride. And I'm sure you do too. You're partial to the ones you love the most. The more you love them, the more partial you are to them. But we should not let this bias cloud our judgment on matters of substance. If you let those you love most get a pass on substantive matters, and you tend to be harsh with those that you don't love as much, then we have a word for this behavior. It's called hypocrisy. God doesn't like it. In fact, What is being told us here is that God is not himself a respecter of persons. And he doesn't like it in us. 2 Chronicles 19:7 says, "Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity of the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." Ephesians 6:9 says, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." And Peter said in Acts, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceived that God is no respecter of persons. But every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him." Romans says, there is no respect of persons with God. And God says in his judgment that there will be no respect of person. God's not going to care what your position is. God's not going to care what your wealth is. He couldn't care much less what your bank account amount is. At the judgment seat, it will not matter whether you're wearing a nice suit or not. And you won't. You think about the way our Lord treated his disciples. You know, he overlooked the great people. He went straight past the great people, the famous ones, the ones that were highly regarded, and went for the fishermen. Went for fishermen and took the fishermen and said he's going to make these fishermen one of the foundations of his church. I'm sure the great ones were looking going, well, who are those guys? So God looks at the heart. And we should be the same, he says. God can't be bribed or persuaded to give consideration to anything other than what is consistent with his character, that which is right and good. And he tells us too, don't respect a person in judgment. He tells us in Deuteronomy 1:17 in his law, he says, "You shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of a man, for judgment is God's." Notice the face reference. Don't give regard to the face. Give regard to the face of God. Deuteronomy 16:19 says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." Leviticus 19:15, Proverbs 20:28-21, "To have respect of persons is not good." And beloved, James here gives us a very specific example of what it means to be a respecter of persons. Let me read it to you again. "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and them come on also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here or sit under a footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thought? To give greater regard to the rich man versus the poor man, our Lord here condemns." He tells us that if we do give greater regard to the rich, we are thinking evil thoughts. Now the question before us is, why? Well, let's look at the text. The first man, what does he have? He has a gold ring. He has riches. The gold ring is a symbol of his authority, of his honor. Back in those days, only a rich guy would have a gold ring. And the gold ring was a symbol. You think of Joseph and his gold ring that he was given, and good clothes. And the father in the story, how he gave his son a gold ring and gave him good clothes. It was a position of honor. He had taste, he had class, he had status. In our day and age, he was wearing a nice suit. And presumably his wife was dressed very well as well, dressed similarly. The second man has no gold ring. He doesn't have any ring. He's a poor man, says. And he wears vile raiment. Not just bad clothes. Vile. Dirty. Filthy. Quite a comparison. So the first man you have respect for. You treat him kindly. You give him attention. You lead him to his seat. You listen to him. You listen intently. You care about the way he's feeling about the situation. In short, you love on him. The second man, you have light regard for. You treat him shortly. You don't give him much attention at all. You don't take time to listen to him. You point to a seat rather than lead him to it. And you really couldn't care much less how he feels about it. Doesn't even really occur to you, really. In short, you ignore him. And you're largely indifferent to him. So notice the comparison. It's not at all that one treats one person kindly and with love. It's that they won't treat someone that can't pay them back anything differently. That's the point. This is what our Lord meant when he said in Luke 14, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and then you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So why is thinking evil when you treat someone well off well and you treat a poor man poorly? Because it shows that your motivations are evil. It's about you. You're looking for what you can get. Now, I don't typically read the New Living Translation much, to be honest. But in this instance, I found it expressive. And there's a tone here in the verse I think is good. The paraphrase goes like this for verses 3 through 4. If you give special attention and good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over here, or I'll sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? One of the things that I left out that Thomas Manton brings out is that one of the things in the synagogue that they did was novices, those who were being instructed, were told to sit on the floor, literally sit on the floor at the feet of the elders. So when you told a poor man, sit at my feet, you're saying, well, obviously you need some training in this. You need to sit down here and be a novice for a little while. You know, hence comes the expression when it was said of Paul, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, sometimes they would literally sit at the feet of the man. So it's a question of your motives. What is your motivation when you interact with people? Is it for yourself? Well, it'll be shown how you treat those that cannot give back to you. So you can treat other people kindly, but if those that can't pay you back, you don't treat the same way, that reveals our motives. You know, if a person's wealthy, he might give you some money. You know, if a person's important, you know, he might make you feel important by giving you some attention or introducing you to people that are also important. If a person's attractive, perhaps he can give you the pleasure of enjoying his good looks for a little while. If a person is fun, perhaps he can give you pleasure in having fun with him. You know, if a person's smart, maybe he can give you some advice that will help you out. If a person is successful, maybe he can show you how to be successful in business, marriage, parenting, arts of persuasion, maybe even homeschooling. You see, dearly beloved, the way you act really does reveal how you are. Now, of course, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being wealthy, important, attractive, fun, smart, successful. Those are blessings of God. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. The question is, what are you doing with these riches? Are you giving them away? Or are you hoarding them, seeing if you can just get a little bit more? Get a little bit more successful. Get a little bit more money. Get a little bit more status. Are you willing to associate with those that are poor, unimportant, unattractive, not as fun, maybe not so smart even, and maybe even unsuccessful in business, marriage, parenting, homeschooling. This is the test, according to James and Paul. Paul tells us in Romans 12, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Dear family, let us be exhorted to be of the same mind. Give sober and humble consideration to the words of James this morning. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our messages from Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Our church has been meeting in public school facilities for many years. Because of political pressures and shifting worldviews, it will be increasingly more difficult for us to continue renting public facilities. Hence, we are thankful that the Lord has provided us real estate for a building in Elizabeth, Colorado. We are now in the process of constructing our new building that may be used for regular worship, discipleship, shepherd's conferences, and other ministry events. Presently, we have about 75% of funding necessary to complete the building. If you would like to contribute something to this project, we invite you to visit our website at reformationchurch.com. That's reformationchurch.com.